Welcome to the Living a Naturally Healthy Life podcast with Delaine the MD, the podcast for people looking to correct chronic illnesses such as diabetes through lifestyle change. I'm Dr. Delaine Vaughn. As a physician, I see many patients who are ill because of lifestyle decisions such as food choices. Typically, diseases such as diabetes are managed with pills or injections. This approach creates a vicious, expensive, and unhealthy cycle of medication and then more medication to address the negative side effects. As a physician and a life coach, I work with clients to resolve their diseases, get off their medications, and live a naturally healthy life. If you don't like the healthcare system in America, I recommend you use less of it by being naturally healthy. So if you feel there has to be a better, more natural way to live a healthy life, you are in the right place. You are listening to the Reversing Diabetes with Delaine MD podcast, episode number 83. Welcome back to the podcast. Today, we are going to talk about a number of different things. Primarily, we are going to be talking, though, about food as medicine. I love this topic. It's deep. It is broad. So we're going to jump in pretty quickly without much hesitation. But I do want you to know, if you hear whimpering, if you hear a funny jangling, there might be a puppy where I'm recording right now with me while I'm recording. We just got a new puppy this weekend, or I guess we got it last week. He is wonderful. He is deaf. We knew he was deaf when we got him, but he is certainly deaf. He has been a hoot. Just, he's the sweetest thing as can be. But it's kind of nice to go back through those puppy phases because I think there are so many things that it illustrates as far as learning. So definitely I'm seeing things where I'm like, oh, I still do that, where I want to avoid the hard thing and go walk around instead of go up the stairs because I don't know how to do it yet. There's all sorts of things where I see this in my own life. So it's kind of interesting to watch those experiences unfold and apply them to my own growth and work that I'm doing. So if you hear something funny, it is probably because I really do have a puppy in here with me. Before we get started, I do want to plug next week's podcast. We will be talking about how we should all over our feelings, really about how we believe we should feel and how believing we should feel a certain way really keeps us from experiencing what's going on and then dealing with what we're experiencing. So we're going to talk about why it's a problem, how to do it differently. So make sure you check that out next week. So let's dig into food as medicine. When my clients work with me, when they get in my program, there is an online learning component associated with that. That online learning component has weekly modules where there are videos where I teach about nutritional ketosis. I teach about intermittent fasting. I teach about all sorts of things. Well, there is a module that talks about food as medicine. In fact, there's two modules because this topic is really so broad and so deep. And I will tell you, when I talk about food as medicine, I even narrow it down because I do not talk about food as medicine as far as it goes with what herbs to take or what veggies to eat to cure whatever disease. I don't talk about those things. I really talk about how food, when we eat it appropriately and we eat it in a way that serves our body, can keep us from becoming sick. So today I'm going to talk kind of about the different diseases, the main diseases that like we deal with in American medicine. And then I'm also going to talk about how our foods really impact that. So that learning how to eat things that don't make us sick is kind of the first step to healing our bodies. Doesn't matter how much kale salad you eat, if you're eating something that's making you ill, there's no amount of kale salad that's going to undo that. So that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. So again, a very broad topic. There's a lot in here. I have no intentions of covering every part of the topic of food as medicine. We're going to touch on some highlights. I am going to talk about the main mechanisms today that really cause diseases, and then I'm going to apply most of those mechanisms to type 2 diabetes. Again, recognize that in my program, we really dig into everything: cholesterol problems, autoimmune diseases, thyroid, mental health, cardiac disease, liver disease, metabolic syndrome, hormonal abnormalities, cancer. We dig into all of that. Today, we're not going to have time to do that on this podcast, so we're really going to talk about the main mechanisms that cause these different diseases from our food, and then we're going to talk about how it applies to type 2 diabetes primarily. So recognize how important this is. The leading causes of death as laid out by various organizations are usually very similar. So the World Health, I compared the World Health Organizations with the Centers for Disease Control and then the NIH here in America. So World Health, of course, applies to the world. Center for Disease Control, of course, applies to American Health Statistics, and then the NIH also applies to American Health Statistics. The main players in these, the World Health Organization lists ischemic heart disease, Alzheimer's, and dementia, stroke, respiratory cancers, COPD, lower respiratory tract infections, colon cancer, kidney disease, hypertensive heart disease, and then diabetes as its top 10 leading causes of death. CDC reports heart disease, cancers, accidents, chronic lung disease, stroke, Alzheimer's, diabetes, kidney disease, flu and pneumonia, and suicide. And then the NIH lists heart disease, stroke and dementia, cancer, infections, and injuries as the leading causes of death. Again, those last two lists are really specific to America. The first, the World Health Organization list, is really what we're seeing worldwide. So what I want you to see is, how does diabetes play into all of these? Diabetes is a huge risk factor in heart disease. Diabetes is a huge risk factor in Alzheimer's and dementia. Diabetes is a major cause of kidney disease. Diabetes is a comorbidity with hypertension. So looking at all of these different leading causes of death that really are heavily impacted by type 2 diabetes, and how much cleaning up that part of our diet, if it's an adjustment to our diet that needs to be made to resolve that type 2 diabetes, all of these other risks also go down. So realizing the impact that resolving type 2 diabetes really can have on your health. I also looked at the most costly diseases in America. Mental health was number one. Heart disease was number two. Traumas, number three. Diabetes was number four. Cancer, COPD, joint disease, hypertension, and infections were all on that most costly list of diseases in America. And again, remember, diabetes goes hand in hand with things like heart disease and things like cancer, the overweightness that comes that causes joint disease and all of those things. So recognizing really the impact that resolving type 2 diabetes can have. That's why this is the work I do, of course, right? Because I really do feel like this is so impactful. So there are three main mechanisms that food works to harm our bodies. And these are the mechanisms that we want to improve on to really use food as medicine. So when we stop eating the foods that are damaging us and we start eating foods that allow our bodies to help or to heal, then that's where I'm talking about food as medicine. So there are three main mechanisms that we talk about are leaky gut syndrome, hyperinsulinemia, and then inflammation. All three of these mechanisms will cause a multitude of diseases. But these three mechanisms are all three different mechanisms are caused by these processed foods that we get too much of in our diet. So leaky gut syndrome is caused by the single cell layer in our gut separating. So scientists and doctors consider the inside of our gut to be external to the body. It is not inside the body. I know I just said inside the body. What? Yeah, I know. It's kind of confusing. But they consider the system, the passageway from our mouth to our bottom, to be external to the body. It is not inside the body. It is just like the air and the rivers and the trees outside of our body. It's considered to be external to our body. The only protection that we have in the gut, though, to protect us from this external environment is a single cell layer that lines the gut. So on one side of this lining is the gut lumen, what we call the gut lumen, the inside of the gut. And on the other side is our bloodstream that we consider inside the body, internal to us, right? This single cell layer, when it gets damaged or when we eat foods that offend it, it starts to separate. And when it separates, we are suddenly inappropriately exposed to this external environment. Our bloodstream is not meant to actually come into contact with many of those chemicals, particles, things that are in that external part of our body, right? Like our bloodstream is not meant to be exposed to the grass. Our bloodstream is not meant to be exposed to trees, right? Our bloodstream is not meant to be exposed to everything that's floating around on the external environment. Recognize in the gut lumen, there's all sorts of things. There's bacteria, there's dietary antigens, there are pesticides, there's food colorings, there's non-food additives, so things that are added to our food that really don't present any nutrient, but typically tend to alter the texture or the feeling of the food that we're eating. They're called emulsifiers, those kinds of things. There are all sorts, there's preservatives, there's all sorts of things that are in our food that are not really meant to be, that our blood is not meant to be exposed to. When there is a separation of those single cells, they're connected usually by these tight junctions is what they're called in the medical literature. They're tight junctions. Typically, those cells are held together very tightly by these tight junctions, and that creates a barrier that keeps the blood away from this external part of our environment, right? This part of our environment that we're not really meant to be exposed to. You know, the gut lumen, where it's passing all these bacterial products, these viral products, antigens, pesticides, preservatives, colorings, emulsifiers, all these non-food things, right? Those tight junctions are imperative to protecting our blood from those substances we're not supposed to be exposed to. When we eat certain foods, they actually break down those tight junctions, and that allows those cells to separate, and suddenly there is free flow between our blood and the things that are in the gut lumen. Normally what happens is there are receptors on these cells that grab the nutrients that we do want to bring inside our body, and they pass actually through the cell where they get any kind of modifications that may be needed or further breakdown that may be needed so that they can then pass through the other cell layer on the other side into our bloodstream. That's how it's supposed to work. But when these tight junctions get broken down, suddenly it's a free-for-all. Everything can, our blood gets exposed to everything. And this is what we see. This can lead to a lot of inflammation. This can lead to antigens being brought into our body that really set off autoimmune diseases. This can lead to all sorts of exposure to these chemicals that we're really not meant to be exposed to. And of course, carcinogens are in this category also. So that's leaky gut. That's the main mechanism. And really the foods that we eat, these highly processed foods that we eat, are really what are causing these leaky gut issues. And the solution, of course, is to heal up your gut. You stop offending your gut and you start providing your gut the things that it needs to heal up those tight junctions. Having a good probiotic, recognizing there's a microbiome, a bacterial layer that lives on top of the single cell of our gut wall, right? There's a bacterial layer that lives there. Part of the job of that bacterial layer is to protect that single cell layer, right? To protect those cells. If we are killing them off with antibiotics, if we are killing them off with pesticides, if we are killing them off with things like artificial sweeteners are very toxic to the microbiome of the gut. If we're killing them off with those things, then it's not there to protect us. So what do we do to fix this? Again, we stop eating certain foods that break down that tight junction, that single cell layer, but then we also start eating things that really feed our gut microbiome so it can be robust and healthy and protective like it should be. That's leaky gut. The next process or mechanism I want to talk about is hyperinsulinemia. You know that this is, if you've listened to any of my other podcasts, you know that this is the primary cause of your type 2 diabetes. If you have not listened to any other of my podcasts, go back and listen to them, because this is why you have type 2 diabetes. We all get very confused about this because physicians want to give you more insulin. Me too, right? Like, I'm a physician. I've done this in my medical practice. Give more insulin because we need to override your insulin resistance. That's really what it comes down. But recognize that type 2 diabetes is actually insulin resistance because you have so much insulin in your system that your cells are overwhelmed and they cannot respond. This is quote unquote hyperinsulinemia. Hyper, too much insulin, being insulin, emia, being in your blood, too much insulin in your blood. That's literally what it breaks down to. So again, there's all sorts of processes, not only type 2 diabetes, but they're starting to see this hyperinsulin effect impact glucose metabolism, obviously, but also hormonal regulation. It's also seen to impact liver function. And most interestingly, they're starting to see that cognitive decline or Alzheimer's or dementia is actually the neurons in the brain being insulin resistant, just like we see in our bodies with type 2 diabetes. They're starting to realize that these cognitive declines are actually insulin resistance in the cells of the brain.
And why? Because we're exposed to too much insulin all the time. And why are we exposed to too much insulin all the time? Because of the foods that we eat. We eat these highly processed foods. These highly processed foods cause us to produce tons of insulin. Of course, in America, we eat from the moment we get up in the morning to the moment that we go to bed. So you have high concentrations of insulin in your system over prolonged periods of time. That's hyperinsulinemia, and that's when we get into all these problems. Chances are very good if you have any kind of glucose metabolism issues, any kind of issues with how you're managing your glucose or having too much insulin on board. So this looks like anything from metabolic syndrome to polycystic ovarian disease to prediabetes to non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. All of these are diseases of too much insulin in your system. So any of those things count. If that's what's happening for you, if that's what you're seeing on your lab work and such, you really need to start looking at the food you're eating and really cutting out those foods that are causing you to produce tons of insulin and looking at ways that you can narrow your eating window so you're not exposed to insulin all day long. So that's hyperinsulinemia. Lastly, inflammation. Some foods are just inflammatory to the human body. Some of these are oils and fats that set off certain inflammatory pathways in our bodies. But some of these are these non-food additives, like these food emulsifiers, preservatives, pesticides, colorings, all of those things that we eat in these processed foods. Recognizing that some fats are good fats and some fats are bad fats. Some oils are good oils, some oils are bad oils. It is the ratio of omega-6 to omega-3 fatty acids in our saturated fats or in our animal products that are really out of whack. And I go into this pretty in depth in my program, but those ratios get out of what is normal. And that is where we get into problem because omega-6, when not counterbalanced by enough omega-3, actually becomes inflammatory to the human being. And that's what leads to cardiovascular issues and heart attacks and those kinds of things. In addition, you have all these non-food additives, the emulsifiers, the preservatives, the pesticides. These things, of course, set off inflammation, just an inflammatory response in our body that settles out in things like arthritis, settles out in things like autoimmune disorders, settles out in things like thyroid disorders. All sorts of things can be impacted by these foods that we eat and the inflammation that floats around our body and wreaks havoc all over our body. So really cleaning those things up. Lots of my clients, it's so interesting. They'll come to me. I had a client who came to me and they realized they were probably having too much insulin in their system and they really wanted to lose weight and they wanted to clean up their diet. And they actually had scheduled for themselves a knee surgery. And the knee surgery was about 7 months after, I don't know, maybe more or less than that, but it was like somewhere between 6 and 9 months after we started working together. They had taken like, I don't know, a week or two off of work for them to go through this knee surgery in case that's what they needed. And they started working with me with the hopes that they would lose weight and get healthy and do the things they needed to do. So they did that. And interestingly enough, I was coaching with this client of mine and he was driving with his wife somewhere on a road trip to go biking at a fundraiser that they were going to do a long bike with. And he told me as we were coaching while they were driving, he said, you know, this weekend I had this week taken off for months because I was going to go for a knee surgery. And instead I feel so amazing that I don't have to do that. I can just go ahead and go and do this fun thing with my wife and raise this money for this great organization. And this, like, it was like a 4-day biking event. And I thought that was just so awesome. And yes, he did lose weight and that was awesome. But more than that, even before his weight dropped substantially, he noticed a substantial benefit in how much his knees hurt, how much inflammation he did or didn't have in his knees. And why that is because when you cut that junk food out of your diet, that food that's super processed, that ultra processed foods, suddenly you're not having this constant barrage turning on your inflammatory response in your body and then settling out in these different places, settling out in your back, settling out in your knees, settling out in your ankles, settling out in your hands. Does that mean you're never going to have any aches or pains if you clean up your diet and only eat kale and berries? No, that does not mean you're never going to have any sore joints or sore muscles or anything like that. That's part of the human experience, but you're probably going to have a lot less of them. And so there's truly a lot of benefit in cleaning up your diet in that way. That's the inflammation component. Again, many, many systems are really impacted by these three mechanisms: your cardiovascular system, your nerve and your brain system, your liver, your digestive tract, your joints, your muscles. All of these different things are impacted by the foods that we eat. It's so interesting that I feel like I have to convince people of that, but it makes tons of sense that if you're eating something, that your entire body, every part of your body, every system of your body will be impacted by that food. So being very careful about what kind of food you're actually feeding your body, I think, is so imperative. So I hope you found this interesting. There's a lot of stuff in this, but I find it just fascinating. If any of it doesn't make sense, if there's anything you have a question about, or if you have a question about a specific disease and can food impact that, don't hesitate to send me a message. Send it to Delaine@DelaineMD.com. I'm happy to answer anything. And of course, always, if you are ready to take on this work, if you are ready to learn how to stop eating foods that are making you sick, send me a message. Set up time for a free mini coaching session. Basically, you'll see what it's like to be coached. I will tell you about my program. We'll talk about pricing, and then we go from there and you make a decision if this is right for you. If that's something you're interested in, again, send me a message, Delaine@DelaineMD.com. All right. I hope this was helpful. I will be back next week. We will be talking about shooting all over yourself and your feelings. And I think that's going to be really fun because I always like talking about shooting all over yourself. But more than that, I think it's really important to break down your feelings about and your thoughts about what's going on with you so you can learn how to do it better. All right. Have a great week. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and share with your friends and family. Also, leave me a review. If you want to resolve your diabetes naturally without any pills or injections, I can help you. Visit DelaineMD.com for more information. Click on the Work With Me tab, send me a message, and we can set up a mini coaching session. You guys have a great week. I'll talk to you soon.